Welcome to the Back in Time podcast with Kyle and JD, where every week we jump into our DeLorean, cruise to 88 miles per hour, and travel back in time to review our favorite films. Every week we talk about current cinema, the latest trailers, and we pick a new favorite film every single episode.
But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts!
Don't say that! Never say that! Goonies never say die!
Now, here's your host, Kyle Autry, and his co-host, JD.
Welcome back to the Back in Time podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Autry, joined as always by my co-host, JD. JD, how are you tonight?
I got a peanut in my throat.
You had a what in your throat?
A little peanut skin.
Oh, okay. I thought you said a penis in your throat.
You would think that. It was the worst timing, but it has to be included, the fact that I was able to hold the cough right through the introduction.
Hey, JD, what's your favorite nut, and why is it D's?
D's are good. Does are better.
Okay. I love it. Now, you guys are listening to the teaser trailer episode, and this week we're discussing the 1988 sports action film, Bloodsport. So before we dive into Bloodsport, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox, YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave us a 5-star review. That's the best way to help support the show and help us continue to grow. JD, what's your first memories of watching Bloodsport, man?
Oh, my goodness. I know I saw this when I was young. It had to have been like a TBS or USA movie that I just caught one Sunday afternoon and was just enthralled with all the magnificence that is this film.
Yeah, that's really cool that you said you caught like a TBS version of it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember watching it on TBS, but I can remember watching this. We had recorded it on a VHS with like three other films. And I believe, if I'm remembering right, this was the third movie on that VHS tape. So you always had to like fast forward to it or rewind it depending on who watched it last, because not everybody in the house was Be Kind and Rewind conscious. But yeah, we had it taped. It must have been off of HBO or Showtime or one of those channels.
Oh, because you had the premium channels, of course.
In and out. We didn't always have the premium channels. I think it depended on like we would get HBO for like a little period of time if there was like a bunch of really good boxing fights on, and my dad would subscribe to it and then cancel it after it was over.
See, my stepdad just bought one of those cheater boxes.
We never had a cheater box. I did have a couple friends that had them because that's where I would go watch like the WWF and WCW pay-per-views.
Oh, yeah, it was fantastic for those.
Yeah.
And boxing matches, too. I used to love watching two men just pound the crap out of one another. That sounded so bad.
Sounded like a really bad porno. Do you have a favorite boxing match?
Oh, my gosh. The first one that comes to the top of my mind is Lennox Lewis versus David Tua. And I remember staying up late to watch that, and that fight was horrible.
Okay. Let's see if you remember this one. This is my favorite fight of all time. It might be the best story in a heavyweight fight of all time. George Foreman versus Michael Moore. George Foreman goaded him the entire fight and then knocked him out in the 10th round.
Michael Moore, the director?
No.
Oh.
Not that. And
clearly we're thinking of two different things.
Yeah. Not a fan of Michael Moore, if you couldn't tell by my response.
I'm decently okay with what he does as a creator.
Yeah.
I just wish he would shut up a lot more.
That's exactly why I don't like him.
I don't care your opinion left or right, but when it comes to the end of the day, when you're just like shoving your foot down and just agree with me or die, that's my impression of him. Like anybody that does that, like that's not the point. That's not in the spirit of anything.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Okay. So, yeah, I think we have pretty similar stories to this. You just watched it on TV, and I watched a VHS version of it on TV. Cool. Now let's get to the trailer here. So let's fire it up. If you're by a computer, you can pull this up on a device, get into YouTube, type in Bloodsport trailer. You're going to be looking for the one titled Bloodsport trailer, and it has 227 views, and it was uploaded by Bloodsport official trailer. I'll give a 3, 2, 1 click countdown, and we can watch this thing together. JD, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1 click.
For centuries, the Society of the Black Dragon has sanctioned an ancient rite of combat known as the Kumite. Open only to the world's most lethal warriors. It has never been won by a Westerner.
You are not Japanese.
I can do it. Now, for the first time, the true story of America's super agent, Frank Banks, can be revealed.
Uncle Sam can't afford to let you get hurt.
I'm going to Hong Kong.
Frank is going to fight in the Kumite, and we're here to stop him.
An awesome human weapon.
It hurts me just looking at it.
Who infiltrates the Chinese underworld.
I did not come this far to stop him. Now
take him.
A forbidden competition.
Couldn't you just get me in?
Strict rules, no press.
You telling me you never break rules?
Where every fighting style, every worthy opponent, every deadly technique, clash in savage combat.
Time to separate the men from the boys.
And only one will triumph. Now I break you. International martial arts sensation Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport, the true story of the ultimate champion.
All right, JD, Kumite, Kumite. What'd you think, man?
I didn't remember there really being a theme song to this movie at all.
Kumite,
Kumite. I love it. Obviously, there's so many comparisons to be made between Jean-Claude and Johnny Cage and Mortal Kombat and Bloodsport. We can go on and on, but let's focus on how effing cool this trailer is. Like, I know this isn't the first martial arts movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it almost feels like this defined what martial arts movies and action movies, where you've got, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme is just coming out of the woodwork and just destroying people, and like identifying what that looks like for a slew of action heroes throughout the rest of the 90s. And this just embodies that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the trailer's really cool. I like that they're giving some backstory to it and explaining to the audience that no Westerner has ever won the contest, this entire tournament format. There's a couple things I really love about this movie. The first is Donald Gibb as Jackson, which everybody I'm sure remembers him as Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds. I love him here in this role. So yeah, I thought the trailer was good. It's that you could definitely tell it's very dated, but we'll see. I'm almost a little worried if the movie holds up. I have not watched it in quite a while.
Have you seen the version of where they cut it into a Mentos commercial?
No.
You need to look up Bloodsport Mentos commercial before we do the full episode and enjoy yourself some of that, because Mentos, the fresh maker, is always good.
Okay, I'll check it out, man. Very cool. So let's talk about the box office numbers. Bloodsport debuted at the box office on February 26, 1988. The film was distributed by Canon Films with a runtime of 92 minutes and an estimated production budget of somewhere in the ballpark of $1.5 to $2.3 million. Opening weekend, Bloodsport was 19th at the box office, bringing in $515,000. In week two, it would move up to the 16th spot, bringing in another $410,000, making the 10-day total $1.1 million. JD, thoughts on the first 10 days?
hey, $1 million to be made is $1 million to be had.
Good point. Do you think there's any schoolyard effect to be had here?
Unfortunately, I feel like given the time when this came out, this is more of a cult following movie, and I don't feel the schoolyard effect is in play.
Okay. And this is a tricky one to really say whether it was or not, because the numbers stopped reporting after week three, which they brought in 246,000 in week three. But the actual final box office numbers ended up at 11.8 million. So there definitely was some type of schoolyard effect. We just don't know when it occurred or how it occurred. And it doesn't mention anything about international money being part of it. So it's really just a shot in the dark. We really have no idea.
Yeah, that's a big bagel with lox and cream cheese.
I love the food reference. It always. What do you think about the final numbers, though? Shocked at all that it ended up with almost 12 million?
Not shocked. I feel like if this movie originally came out today, it would do a lot better. Agreed. And it would break the box office.
I feel like they could just re-release the movie right now and it would make more than $1 million in 2 weeks.
And that's what I was thinking too, because I know it's a cult classic. And definitely. I know I would go into theaters to see it, to watch Frank Dukes.
Yeah, update it up, give it some new color. Redo the soundtrack, put it in better studio form to format it for theaters now. I think it could be a cool thing. Let's talk about the top 10 list, though, for the week of February 26, 1988. Number one movie in America that week, Good Morning Vietnam. Number two, Frantic. Number three, Shoot to Kill. Number four, Moonstruck. Number five, Three Men and a Baby. Number six, Night in the Life of Jimmy Reardon. Number seven, Action Jackson. Number eight, Broadcast News. And number nine, She's Having a Baby. JD, any standouts in the top 10 for you?
Three Men and a Baby. Has to be a future episode.
Okay. I am not familiar with Three Men and a Baby at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Not you don't know anything about it?
I could guess that it's about three men and a baby.
Listeners, I would like to inform you that this is the last episode of the podcast. All fault goes to Kyle. You son of a bitch. I hate you. Come on, Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, you don't want to end it now. Not with what we have coming up in a couple weeks.
That's what she said.
Not a lot of standouts in this list for me. Moonstruck, obviously. James Bond. I'm not the biggest James Bond guy out there, but I do respect the series. I do like Good Morning Vietnam. It's not on the top of any of my list, but I do think that's a really good movie.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm the same with you about Bond. Like, I've gone back and rewatched and tried to make an effort to see all the Bond movies because I do respect them for what they are, and they are enjoyable films.
And you do a hell of an impression, too, of Sean Connery.
Name's Bond. James Bond. Money pushy.
Let's talk about the critic and audience response here. So we'll use Rotten Tomatoes to gauge the response of the audience and the critics. JD, how do you think the critics received Bloodsport?
All right, so we're 1988, and what, Enter the Dragon was 1974,
75? Yeah, let me back check here. 73.
Okay.
Pretty close.
So we're looking at 15 years off of what is, you know, probably one of the most household names for martial arts movies.
Sure.
I feel like the market for these types of movies are razor thin. And Jean-Claude Van Damme, he's the muscles from Brussels, but is he a household name in 88? Time Cop hasn't even come out yet.
No, I don't think he is. He's starting to catch on, but he's not there yet.
He's catching on. I was hoping maybe insert laugh track when I say Time Cop. Come on. There we go. I was wondering why you weren't laughing. It's a good movie. It's a cool setup. It's very succinct and to the point and exotic. And there's so much characterization in everyone that's in it, from the characters that you barely get to know their name, but you identify them by a fighting style, which I find so cool. It's only years on the before Mortal Kombat hits where it has essentially the same plot. Not the movie, of course, which we know is, we'll do those in the future. I want to say that this is probably in the middle of the road for received. Again, I'm shooting in the dark, so I'm just going to say 50%.
Okay. It's not quite 50%. It's a 30% rotten. Audience response, 74%. Pretty good. So a little bit of a difference there. Now let's hear from a couple of the critics. Dave Kerr of the Chicago Tribune gave the film 1 out of 4 stars and said, "The contest format is hopelessly repetitive and inert. The characters would seem underdeveloped in a comic book, and the restricted setting ensures that the action will never develop any real scale or velocity." JD, your thoughts on clearly a man that's never played a sport in his life?
That's the beauty part of Bloodsport, is that the characters are developed in such a way that they're identified with their fighting style.
Right.
And they grow in that regard, and then they clash with somebody that's different than them. So the character development is in the choreography and the fighting.
I agree. Yeah, I couldn't disagree more with this review here. I mean, where else would they go? What would they need to go out of the building for? What reason? In the middle of a tournament? Let's go get Jackson and shoot him in the parking lot eating a foot-long hot dog. What the fuck is this guy talking about?
We know everything about him based on his clothing.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. Leonard Clady of the Los Angeles Times was not a fan of the film either and said, "Hacking through the jungle of cliche and reservoir to bad acting in Bloodsport are some pretty exciting matches." So he's not a fan of the cliche and bad acting. What do you think?
That's what makes a film like this. Right? I mean,
what's a Jean-Claude Van Damme?
Has he ever won an award for his acting?
Yeah, he's got a couple Razzies.
Okay. Fair enough.
There really were not any good reviews to post on here, sadly enough. JD, what are you looking forward to most when we dive into the full review for Bloodsport?
The match between Jackson and Chun-Li, I think, is like a pivotal highlight in this film, and I'm so excited to rewatch it because Jackson owns the match, unless I'm remembering it incorrectly.
He gets the better of him at the beginning, for sure.
Very quickly, and if he doesn't do the all-American arms up in the air, pointing at himself, slapping himself on the back, self-high-fiving, yeah. I think there's a different champion to Kumite.
It's like he learned nothing from Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, what's he thinking? Yeah, I agree. That's one of my favorite parts. No spoilers. If you haven't watched this movie in a long time, that's also the part I look forward to most because it's also a pretty dramatic scene too. So we'll definitely break that down in more detail. And we should be joined on this episode by the angry dad. So we're going to get Big Ben back on the podcast to talk, as he would say, some motherfucking blood sport. And he's going to bring the energy as always. So we look forward to having him on the show. So check out Angry Dad Podcast. And then make sure you guys subscribe to our podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, CastBox, YouTube. You can follow us on social media at Back in Time Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can email us at backintimepodcast@gmail.com. I'm at KAutry29, JD's at UnjustJustin, and we are out of time. Time to get back into the DeLorean and return back to present day. We'll talk to you in a couple days with the angry dad. See ya.
I really feel like the angry dad's gonna just bring the house down.
Brother.